Good morning. Today is Monday, February the 8th, eighth day of the, no, of the month. I did that last Friday too, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, eighth day of the month.
Well, you're being consistent.
39th day of the new year. Yeah, the consistency,
that's
never
good.
Been my, no, because then if you're crappy, you're consistently crappy. That's not good. Always be working towards improvement. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Superintendent of Schools, Gary Eagles.
Well, it is good to see you. And there is something to be said about being consistent, but I hear what you're saying about the quality. But it's great to be here back again.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I always look forward to this opportunity to share some morning space with you and with your listening audience.
Yeah, not necessarily in that order. Our quote this morning, let's see if we can find an edumacation one here. There's Plato. Ah, here we go. You want Plato?
Sure.
A little classical quote here this morning?
Why not?
There are two kinds of arguments, the true and the false. The young should be instructed in both, but the false first.
Oh, wow. Well, I have not heard that one before.
Interesting. Well, you know, now that we're into the eighth day of the month.
It works.
Yeah. Quick update on the news story we heard about the Klamath Trinity schools.
Yes.
And what's going on. Is it all the schools in the district? Is it one school?
Actually, they have discovered the mold situation, I believe, and it's in three or four different sites. So they decided to shut down the entire district. And since President's Week is next week, they thought they'd shut down for the 2 weeks straight. That will give them an opportunity to bring in portable classrooms and two portable kitchen cafeteria combination units. I spoke with the superintendent late on Thursday when he found out this situation. They're in the midst of a major reconstruction program throughout the district, Brian. And when they started to do the work that they knew they had to do, they discovered some additional problems with regard to mold and air quality. So they did a thorough testing of all the facilities. And when the results came back, they said, that's it. We're not going to take any chances with our kids or our staff, and that we're just going to shut it down, wrap it up tight, and bring in portables. Now, the downside about this is that we're talking about an extreme amount of work that's going to need to be done, and very frankly, there's not a lot of money available for school construction, including hardship in the state. In fact, that's
that
a major
trigger
conversation right now. Well, there's, you got to have money in the coffers in order to get it.
According to the governor, California is doing famously well.
Well,
he doesn't have anything
set aside. Not with regard with infrastructure. There is some money left in hardship. But actually, there's a major discussion going on right now between the governor, the legislature, and the building and education communities here in Sacramento. In fact, the builders have put a bond on for November, $9 billion, as I recall, for school construction. The governor is reluctant to support that. He has a feeling that local communities should be more responsible than the state for public school construction. I think there's a lack of understanding about the economic prowess of our local communities.
Yeah, he's got to get his buns up here and see what we're dealing with.
Absolutely.
Get a sense. It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Superintendent of Schools, Gary Eagles. So, Gary, you got this black mold challenge, and the governor isn't necessarily wanting to step up to the plate for this or for other projects in education. Do you think his attitude would be any different if it was a state building? You know, we use the Caltrans office just because that's the one that popped to mind that's state-owned and state-run.
Right.
Okay. You got a school district that's rural that he's saying, well, they need to float their own bond. Okay. fair enough. But now, for consistency's sake, if black mold was discovered in the Caltrans building, then Caltrans should anticipate floating a local bond?
Well, that's a good question. Next time I see Governor Brown, I'll ask him.
Good.
But here's the thing, Brian. Eventually,
he's going to recognize me and my weird thoughts.
He might. But, you know, the governor is very consistent in trying to push more responsibility on local governmental agencies to raise money in support of their own activities. He did it with the criminal justice system. He's looking at it for other infrastructure projects now for public schools. And, you know, that would be great if all communities were equal in their ability to assess, raise money locally, but they simply aren't. It is the state's responsibility to provide for an educational system, and in my opinion, it's the state's responsibility to fund, if not in whole, to fund the substantial portion of the school facilities. So right now, there's a lot of conversation going on in the state because there is a bond that has qualified for the November ballot. It's a $9 billion. It's supported by schools. As well as the developers community in the state. There's about $250 million of building projects that are already approved in the system. And, you know, they're virtually is what we refer to as shovel ready, architectural design approval, engineering, et cetera.
Oh, you're the one that came up with that phrase.
What? Shovel ready.
Shovel ready.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm old enough to have done, but I won't take full credit for it. So, but the governor doesn't want to see that kind of state bond obligation. You know, he believes he's finally got the state to be in a situation where it is economically balanced. Now, of course, in large measure, we are more sound today fiscally because of two things. Number one, taxes were raised under Prop 30, where you had income taxes and sales taxes raised in the state. Number one, and number two, is the fact that he has, as a governor, he has been prudent, not to spend every new dollar that's come in. Philosophically, the governor is supportive of a rainy day fund in Sacramento, believing that when we hit the next recession, which we will at some point, that there will be funds available to continue state funded programs. So he's got a good strategy there. And this idea of having the locals get more control over their own destiny rather than having Sacramento tell them what to do all the time is a good flavor. But you just can't abdicate your responsibility as a state government and say, you know, we have no financial responsibility. We're going to turn it all over to the locals because every community doesn't have the same capacity to respond.
Well, and that's what he did with the criminal justice system with 47.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, you know, that shift of responsibility is dandy, but normally you get some financial, you know, whatever was being spent at a different level comes
right
along with that responsibility, and he's just shutting that off. So, of course, the state budget's going to look good.
Or certainly capping it and saying,
yeah,
okay, I sent you, you know, some bucks, and if you want more, then and you have to figure it out. Actually, there's a proposal.
I could balance the budget that way.
Yes.
Well, just don't allow anybody to spend anything and keep sending me your money. I could balance the state budget.
It does work that way.
I mean, what kind of goofy thing is that about?
I understand that there's a tendency in the state to want to spend. And let's put it this way. We do look toward our state legislators to respond to needs. And a lot of times, most of the time, when we want government to respond, it requires spending money. Now, he has sat back there, Governor Brown has sat back there and said, we're not going to do that. We're just going to, you know, stop spending more money. You can only do that so long, because there are growing needs in a variety of areas, not only in education, but mental health, social services, and other areas. So there's going to be great pressure this time around on the governor, given the fact that there are increasing revenues in the state of California, because even members of his own party in Sacramento are going to want to begin to address to some of the needs that are out there that the constituents are asking to be met.
Well, I remember last year when Fred and Eureka City Schools were floating their bond. They were talking about the age of the buildings.
Yes.
Okay. County went through the same thing. You know, when these buildings were built, the mills were running, people were employed, and, you know, it was a different time at that point, and there were young kids. Well, those buildings still exist. You know, you can't expect some of these small towns that have nothing. I mean, you look at Warwick, Blue Lake, some of the others, unless they have some outside support, how are they going to keep their school open at all?
That's right. It's absolutely essential for the state of California to partner with local districts.
So a grant, some kind of a matching grant formula would make sense?
A floating matching grant. The old construction program required districts to go out and look for local money first, and I think that should still exist.
It's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Gary Eagles. Talk Shop this morning and every morning presented by Redeck and CDH Painting. Gary, as you're looking at some of the different challenges that are out there, you've got funding, which we kind of have heard over the decades that that's kind of the primary area. But are there folks getting into education? You got the Charles Schulz line. You know, those who can't do, teach.
Yes.
And that's kind of been around for decades and decades and decades. So are you getting the same quality of individual in teaching? Or does it tend to be mom and dad were a teacher, I'll be a teacher? Are you getting fresh blood or different perspectives?
We actually have some of that where, you know, they're educators running the family, as it were. But to be perfectly honest with you, what we have now is a significant shortage. And actually, in some respects, there's a teacher shortage throughout the nation, but very critical here in California. California's estimating that next year they're going to need over 40,000 new teachers. Now, keep in mind that there are almost 300,000 teachers in California to begin with. 34% of the current teachers are over the age of 50. 10% are over the age of 60. Enrollment is in schools in K-12 is pretty consistent right now. But of those 40,000 new teachers anticipated to be sought after for next fall, there's less than 20,000 teaching candidates currently in the CSU system. And the California State University system is the primary pipeline for teachers in the state of California.
So in...
And so we have a critical shortage on the horizon.
Yeah. Does it make sense to continue to demand, require certified for teaching rather than subject mastery for teaching?
I still think there needs to be a requirement for highly skilled teachers, because it isn't just about you have to be able to communicate that. You know,
Sure.
Not every good football player makes a good coach.
Ted Williams syndrome.
Yeah.
Yeah. See the ball, hit the ball. Yeah. That's it. Next.
There's a little more to it than that. But here's the thing, too. When we talk about shortage in the education profession, we are seeing something that heretofore has just not existed in the last couple of years. I went on our website today at the Humboldt County Office of Education, and we, of course, place on that website all of the positions for all of the 31 districts plus ourselves. We have over 100 positions right now, both full and part-time, Brian, across the spectrum that aren't filled. We started off this year with the same number. Now, they're a little different mix of positions today than there was in August when we had these. But in addition to substitute teachers, music teachers, special ed teachers, math teacher, phys ed, we also have speech therapist. We've got school psychologists. Right now, there's a critical need for those individuals who come out of the master's level program in the state university system for school psychologists. We're missing.
These aren't counselors.
No. These are individuals that have about a year more training than a school counselor, as well as a fieldwork placement. So, 8 positions, Brian, we are down. Now, if you're LA County and you say you need 8 school psychologists, that's one thing. But Humboldt County, 8 school psychologists. I mean, we are talking about the inability to deliver essential services in support of classrooms and in particular special education. South Fork's looking for a high school and middle school principal. Union Street Charter's looking for an elementary principal. Klamath Trinity's looking for an elementary principal. Hydesville is floating a district superintendency out there. So we have executive level positions. But all these come
out of education, right?
All of those are. But now let's take a look at the other side of the coin, what we call support positions. We're looking for a fiscal clerk at the county office. We're looking for a foster youth data technician, somebody who likes to work with numbers and likes the idea of supporting foster youth. But we got mechanics, bus drivers, aides, secretaries, food service workers, maintenance custodial staff, monitors, tutors. One of our districts needs a part-time piano accompaniment. I believe it's Arcata High School, if I'm not mistaken. We've got assistant coaches in wrestling and soccer. It's across the board. And what the districts are telling me, and it's been my experience as an employer at the county office, is that people are just not applying. And I don't know whether it's the fact that our unemployment rate is reportedly down, not only here in the county, but across the state. But education is a wonderful place to find a new career or to change careers. I mean, it's not just about the work that you do, but the context of the work that you do. Because every one of these positions, whether it's a professional or a paraprofessional or a support person, is all about providing a program of education and growth for our young people.
Could it be the lack of being able to pass a drug test?
Well, it is for those safety-sensitive positions, and I know that the private sector market has the same thing. So when we talk about safety-sensitive, we're talking about bus drivers, certainly, and those that have responsibility to protect the safety and health of others. But the majority of our positions don't have separate drug testing. They do have, of course, physical requirements that one has to pass just simply to be able to do the work. But people have said, well, maybe that's why others haven't gotten jobs. But I think that's more of a private sector issue than necessarily a public sector. And here's the other thing, too, about public sector. Far fewer people are thinking about going into education. Why is that? Well, we went through several years of a recession. We cut tens of thousands of jobs throughout the state during that recessionary period. So, people who might have thought about going into education suddenly saw, well, gosh, all those jobs were disappearing.
You're seeing bodies on the side of the road.
But now
yeah.
It's not that way anymore. And many of these programs also come with benefits, which, used to be quite a draw for public service.
So is the population now becoming more fertile? So this is a long term, or is this going to be a 2 or 3 year hire, and then boom, you're back out again, and we don't need you because we don't need you?
No, I don't think that. I think we're looking at an upward movement where there will be good job stability for the vast majority of these positions that are out there. The downside of it, when you have a shortage of teachers and you have fewer people applying to get into the pipeline, and it takes 3, 4, 5 years to get through the pipeline, it takes quite a long time to get on the other side.
So when you're looking at the population projections for Humboldt County and the I guess the educated, those of educated age or educatable age.
Educable.
That kind of sounds educable. Goofy.
How about the K-12?
Yeah,
yeah, the K-12.
Is that flat?
It's stable.
Is it starting to grow?
It's stable
a tad?
And starting to grow. We've grown about 500 kids in the last 3 years.
What was the word I was trying to say?
Educable, maybe. Educable age.
Yeah.
I think
the truant officer isn't chasing you.
We'll just say the K-12. Yeah.
There you go. There you go. K. Well, no, not K.
Pre-K-12.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Boy, now I'm having to cover you too.
Just want to see if you're on the mark for a Monday.
No. But hey, it's the 8th day of the month. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:44.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the shopping show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next shopping show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:49. We're back to Talk Shop this morning. Final couple moments with Gary Eagles. So, Gary, what else is on your plate? State budget?
Oh, yeah, we're checking that out. One of the biggest things, we were talking earlier about the governor and wanting to turn more responsibility over the locals to solve problems rather than addressing those at the state level. And we're watching with a great deal of interest a proposal that he threw out on the table about early childhood education. You're going to see more about this coming out.
Earlier than kindergarten?
Yes, we're talking about 3 and 4 year old educations. And his proposal for an early, what they call early education block grant. And he's trying to combine some private sector preschool stuff with some transitional kindergarten stuff at the schools. And he's trying to say, you know, this whole early childhood ed, maybe we'll just send the money to the schools and let them figure it out. Now, the only problem is
but that, not for their buildings.
Well, but he's not going to do it for their buildings. And the proposal is kind of interesting. We're going to send the money to the schools, which means those who are currently in the private side of the house aren't going to get funded. So they're a little upset. And then he's going to cap it. You see, he's not going to add any more money. So once again, the locals have a challenge for the future.
Just do a bond. Bond. Gary Bond.
Gary Bond.
See you all tomorrow morning.